Welcome to Light Embassy Church.
Living life to the full.
Welcome to another life-transforming show,
bringing clarity and balance into your walk of faith.
David said in the Psalms, "Says every day I'll bless the Lord. Says I'll praise him forever." Then he said, "Says great is the Lord, oh, and greatly to be praised. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is of great mercy, full of compassion." That's who he is. Then he went on to say, they will speak of thy glory, of the glory. There is a glory. See, they will speak of the glory. They will speak of the glory and of thy kingdom. That's what the man said. See, they will speak of the glory and of thy kingdom. And they shall talk of thy power. To who? And for what purpose? You know, some days ago I chanced on certain news from a kingdom in Ghana. About a kingdom in Ghana, it's called the Ashanti Kingdom. And then here I saw their council, their traditional council of sub chiefs. How they have fantasized, how they were relishing, how they were reveling in their king, their monarch, so to say. And even the communication about a man who is a king, who is a man, was like as if he is the oxygen they breathe, he is the air they breathe. And I was thinking about this, and some of them were saying things that by discernment it shows that some of them were Christians. And I wondered, so these folks, the way they are acting about such a kingdom, which is just a human kingdom, and the kingship of this man ends when he dies, and after he will stand before God and give an account of his life. If these people, the way they are seriously with all they got within themselves, propagating, advancing the cause of this human kingdom, would they even dedicate 1% or 2% of such to the kingdom of God? Then I said, no, Lord, I have to do more. We have to do more about the kingdom. We have to do more about the kingdom, because look at human beings. I was taken aback by that. You know, man has no excuse. When Jesus Christ comes, man has no excuse. For his ways, himself, and his ways, themselves, will judge him. But if he said, they shall speak of the glory and of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power. For what purpose? He says, to make the sons of men know of your mighty acts and the gracious majesty of thy kingdom. Then he went on to say, you know, the kingdom of men is temporal. All the kingdoms of this world will come to an end. All their governments will soon come to an end. But talking about the kingdom of God, David said, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Yes, the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. The more reason you have to give it much more seriousness. And when you go preach the gospel, you are preaching, propagating the kingdom. It is thy kingdom. David said, thy kingdom is everlasting, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. But God's kingdom is everlasting. No more if men give such importance to temporary kingdom, kingdoms of temporary existence, how much more the kingdom which is everlasting? How much the one whose dominion endureth throughout all generations? It says, generation shall speak to other generation of thy mighty acts. Today's devotional is captioned, "The King is Coming." The King is Coming. And our theme scripture is taken from the book of Exodus, a book of the law of the Torah. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. Please, I'm reading from the KJV. He says, now God is speaking. This is an instruction God is giving to Moses to give to the assembly in Israel, the congregation of Israel. He says, and ye shall keep it up. Ye shall keep it up. Keep what up? Ye shall keep the lamb up until the 14th day. And ye shall keep the lamb until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Again, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Jesus said, when he was speaking to the Jews, the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, and the people, he said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them, these are the words of the Lord himself, the Master himself. He said, these are red words. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Again, it says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. John chapter 5, from verse 39 to 40. The scripture testifies about Jesus. Again, when you read Luke chapter 24, from verse 25 to 27, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, he said to some folks, says, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, after he resurrected, there are some folks who are still doubting the words about the Messiah. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And the Bible says, Luke goes on to say, and beginning at Moses, he began at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And that's why I want you people to note. He says, and beginning, Jesus himself, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded unto the people in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, the things that Moses and all the prophets wrote, which were concerning himself. Now, please note something. This means that Jesus himself, the Lord himself, is confirming that Moses and all the prophets, not some of the prophets. This is very important. It says Moses, the Lord himself, this is Jesus himself confirming that Moses and all the prophets wrote about him. This is what I want you to take notice of, that Moses and all the prophets. So when you read the Bible, all the prophets, Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nahum, all the prophets, spoke about Jesus. They wrote something about Jesus. So when you go to Hosea, for instance, Jesus himself is confirming that Hosea wrote certain things in his book which were about him. This is very important. Jesus himself is confirming that, because Jesus himself is saying that all the prophets spoke about him. Well, Hosea was one of the prophets. So Jesus is saying that Hosea wrote about me. He wrote something in his book which was about me. You thought it was about somebody else, but Jesus said, no, Hosea was writing about me. So Moses talked about Jesus. I remember that Moses too was a prophet. Now, when Israel was about to leave Egypt, this is the instruction God gave regarding the Passover. Now, many times when you read the Bible, you see that God will mention on specific days, specific timelines. Don't just assume that God just use those numbers anyhow. No, they are prophetic types. For instance, when God says that, do this on the seventh day, do this on the third day, do this on the second day, there's a reason why he says do it on the seventh day and not on the hundredth day. There's a reason. These are prophetic types. They are prophetic types. So when Israel was about to leave Egypt, this is the instruction God gave regarding the Passover. Please let us observe. When we read Exodus chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Why this month shall be unto you the beginning of months? Say, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This month that you are in now, henceforth shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, why not the second day? Why not the first day? There's a reason for that. It says, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. They shall take to them every man a lamb on the tenth day, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. So they were to take a lamb on the tenth day of the month, which was going to be the first month of the year for them. But when were they to sacrifice the lamb? No, it says take the lamb on the tenth day, keep it. But till when? Till when were they to keep to sacrifice the lamb? We go to the verse 6 of that same chapter. He says, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Not the 14th day of another month. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. So God is trying to emphasize on something, because what he's saying are prophetic types. So you see the words that God himself is using. Take it on the 10th day until the 14th day, and say of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Exodus chapter 12 verse 6. So they were to keep it for 4 days in the same month. That month which was going to be the beginning of the year unto them. But why so? This is because Jesus was going to be crucified. For this was the Lord's Passover, the Passover in Egypt. This was the lamb that they were going to sacrifice and then put the blood on the doorpost. This is because Jesus was going to be crucified on a day in history which will be 4,000 years. Remember, the scriptural principle of a day is 1,000 years unto the Lord. This is because Jesus was going to be crucified on a day in history which will be 4,000 years from the creation and foundation of the earth. Yes, the Lord Jesus died on year 4000 since Adam. Jesus died on year 4000 since Adam. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. He died on year 4000 since Adam. Hold on to this thought. Now, how many years is Jesus supposed to remain in heaven before returning after the ascension? After his ascension, how many years is he supposed to remain in heaven before returning? Let us consider the words of another prophet called Hosea. Remember when you read in Luke chapter 24, Jesus himself said, Hosea, all the prophets, including Hosea, wrote about me. So now let us consider the words of another prophet called Hosea. When you read Hosea chapter 5 from verse 15 to the chapter 6, from verse 1 to 2, as you know, the Bible were not written originally in chapters. People put it in chapters and verses, so it continues. So when you read from the chapter 5, from verse 15 to the chapter 6, from verse 1 to 2, this is what the prophet wrote. Now, who is a prophet? The prophet is the voice of God. So he speaks for God. So here, God is speaking to his prophet. God is speaking to his prophet. So observe what he says. He says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Then he goes on. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Then you find some people coming in to speak. Now God is no more speaking. God started by saying, I will go to his prophet and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Then when you go on to the next verse, you find the people that God was talking about now comes in, interject, to speak prophetically. They say, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. Now all these words came through the prophet. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. So the prophet Hosea speaks for God, but also speaks for the people in his prophetic message. He says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their afflictions, they will seek me early. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, not after 100 days, not after 10 days, after 2 days, it is two for a reason. He mentioned the number two for a reason. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Now the question is, what at all was the prophet talking about? And which people was he referring to? Well, let the Bible speak for himself. Let scripture speak for himself. The answer is in the next verse. Let us observe the next verse. When you read Hosea chapter 6 verse 3, that's the next verse after this. He says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain and the former rain unto the earth. So who is he talking about? Who was speaking? It helps us to know that it was God. It was the Lord. It was Jesus. This was the Lord speaking. It says, then shall we know, if you follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come. His going forth. What is his going forth? I will go and return to my place. I will go and return to my place. I will go and return to my place. He's talking about the ascension. He's going forth. He's prepared as the morning. And he says that, till they acknowledge me. So you see, he's going forth, his power is running, but he shall come unto us, he shall come back unto us, he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. He's talking about the Lord and the nation of Israel. Now the prophet was talking about the ascension and second coming of Jesus Christ. Now the apostle James, this is interesting. The apostle James in the New Testament even quotes from Hosea chapter 6 verse 3 in his write-up on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us observe, when you go to the New Testament, you read James chapter 5 from verse 7 to 8. Please observe. It says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," now he wrote this epistle to the scattered Jewish Christians in the Gentile lands. So this epistle actually was written to the Jewish Christians. It says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain." Until he receives the early and latter rain. "Be ye also," remember Hosea talked about the early, the former and the latter rain. So until he received the latter, early and latter rain. Then he says, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord." Very nice. So James is saying that I'm talking about the coming of the Lord. What I'm saying is in relation to the second return of the Lord Jesus. It will be like, as Hosea says, the early, the former, and the latter rain. So when he said, "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight." In the third day, at the beginning of the third day, he raised us up and we shall live in his sight. What did he mean? Now, this is what he meant. Jesus came to Israel and they rejected the Lord in the day of their visitation. You read this from Matthew chapter 21. When he rode into Jerusalem, to the chapter, Matthew chapter 24, he came to Jerusalem, never left Jerusalem from that time. He was there, he rejected him, and he told them, he was angry, he told them, "Your nation is left to you desolate, is left to you in ruins." And he went on to talk about the second coming, the chapter 24 downwards, and then from the chapter 26, 27, ongoing, he's crucified. You see, they rejected him, they crucified him. So they rejected him in the day of their visitation. They rejected the Messiah. So after, and they crucified him to make things worse. And then when he resurrected, he went back to his place. He ascended back to his place. He said, "I return to my place." That's the ascension. He returned back to his place after the ascension. But during the Great Tribulation, which will be a time of Israel's affliction, as we see in the book of Daniel and also in the book of Revelation and the prophets, it'll be a time of Israel's affliction. They will acknowledge the Messiah. They will acknowledge Jesus. How long will it take from his ascension to the time in the Great Tribulation where they will acknowledge him? That same time, which will mark the second coming of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection of the dead in Christ. But how long would that period be? He said it ourselves. He says, after 2 days, he talked about it. After 2 days, he revive us. In the third day, we will live in his sight, in his presence. So it will take 2 days, which by the scripture principle of 1 day is to 1,000 years, translates 2,000 years. So the second return of Jesus is 2,000 years from the ascension after his death. That's why in Hosea, it says, after 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. So after 2 days, they will be revived. Israel as a nation will be revived, meaning that there will be a spiritual healing. They will receive the Messiah, they will revive. There will be a spiritual healing because during the Great Tribulation, they will acknowledge the Messiah. So then, because they acknowledge him, they will be revived, they will be healed and converted. And then in the third day, he raised them up. He raised their dead up. Even in Isaiah chapter 26, he talks about, he says, I'll raise up your dead bodies. So he raised them up. He raised them up in the third day. That is in the beginning of the millennium. And then we live in his presence. So after 2 days, so the second return of Jesus is 2,000 years from the ascension after his death. At the beginning of the third day from his ascension, which is the millennium, at the beginning of the millennium, he will raise us up, and we, all of us, will start living in his presence, in his sight. So when Hosea says that in the third day, he raised the dead up, he raised us up, and we live in his sight, that's what he means. In the millennium, at the beginning of the millennium, there will be the resurrection, and those who believe and those who are the Christians who will be living, and those who are dead, when they are raised us up, he raised us up. We all will be living from that day in his sight, in his presence. He will be here on earth with us. Please, we understand that. Now, 4,000 years from the creation, the year where Jesus was crucified, buried, and ascended into the heavens, hovers around 2933 AD. Now, the conflict about the exact year is because of certain smaller details, but then it is certain that it hovers around this period, 29 to 33 AD. It hovers around 29 to 33 AD. So let us say that 4,000 years from creation is even the 33 AD to the extreme 33 AD. Let us say so. It does mean that the second coming of Jesus at most will be 2033 AD. You just have to add 2,000 years. Now, if the 4,000 years from creation is 30 AD, it means the return of the great master is 2030 AD. Beloved, the return of Jesus and the closure of the curtains of this age is very near. This is not any assumption. I'll show you. God has shown you through his servant. This is the word of God. It is there. See, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God is not a man that he should lie. Don't say that you didn't know. Don't say that you were not shown. For that day, Jesus will say, I send my servant to tell you. It is there, right there in the book. Now, the first coming of Jesus was right there in the book. If during those days, someone too would have looked into Exodus and other parts of scriptures, but other prophetic types of scripture also showed the first coming of Jesus, the date, the timing, if they have done their calculation, they would have known the day Jesus would be crucified, and they would have known that truly he was the Messiah. But they didn't do. They didn't look into it. It was there. But it takes the Holy Ghost to open your eyes to these things. In the same way, the second return, the dating is there. You don't say it is not there. Some of you will say, Jesus said, no one, in Matthew 24, when they ask, when will be the time for this event? Jesus said, no one knows it. Not even the angels, nor the Son of God, the Son of Man. So people based on that say that you cannot know. No, that statement Jesus made is for another day. There's a reason for that. It didn't mean that no one will ever know in the future. But that also will be another message to explain with scriptures for you to understand what Jesus really meant. But people take it out of context to assume that no one will know this about the second coming. That's not what Jesus meant at all. That's not what he meant. It didn't mean in the future. But that, I have to use the scriptures also to show you the truth of that. But, beloved, the return of Jesus and the closure of the curtains of this age is very near. It is at the doorstep. When you see the current wars and happenings on the globe, the current incursions of Hamas in Israel, it is because of that. Everything, all the incursions, all what is happening in the Middle East, in Russia, between Russia and Ukraine, and Russia currently, everything, what is happening, everything, the polarization of nations. When you see the current wars and happenings on the globe, it is because of that. Everything is coming into place for the return of Jesus. If you are a Christian, these are not the time to be joking about the unnecessary things of life. Be focused and do the work, because the great Lord is coming very soon. Please share this devotion to as many. God bless you.
Stay on the channel for the next episode and discover more at lightembassy.org. Have a question? Would you like prayer? Message us directly here.